This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We'll start off today by hearing from Dwayne Martin. Dwayne is the commercial traits lead for AgriSure with Syngenta, and we had a conversation about two new traits AgriSure has to offer.
There are a couple things we're going to talk about today, but first let's start off with some of your corn traits, and one of the main focuses being Viptera, and that focuses mainly with insect control.
That's correct. You know, we like to remind folks that we're very proud of our insect control portfolio and the AgriSure traits portfolio in general. Over the last 5 years, we at Syngenta have developed and launched more traits for the corn industry than any other company in the business. And those traits continue to bring a lot of value to corn producers. One of the ones that fits best in this central and southern corn belt area is AgriSure Viptera. This is above ground insect control in corn, and it controls a group of pests that we call the multi-pest complex. So these are lepidopteran pests, ear and leaf feeders, and these are some of the toughest pests to scout for and to control. One day you look in the field and you don't have a problem, and they can appear the next day. In some cases, they're hidden in the whorl of a corn plant, very difficult to kill with traditional foliar insecticide treatments. So it's important for growers to have that protection from the day that plant emerges to the day they harvest the grain. And AgriSure Viptera provides the best above-ground insect control in the industry. Now, another thing to think about is for any producer that might be selling grain to an ethanol plant, feeding his own livestock, or selling to a feedlot, Viptera has also been shown to reduce the incidence of mycotoxins by about 70%. So that's extremely important when we think about the efficiency, the effectiveness of feeding either grain or DDGs to livestock. So the Viptera trait brings a lot of value to Central Corn Belt growers.
Besides the Viptera trait, you also have some drought-tolerant hybrids that have been working well too.
We do. Syngenta has really stepped deeply into what we call water optimization. And unlike traditional drought tolerance, which is really kind of a defensive strategy, you know, in a lot of cases we typically relate drought tolerance to a moderate yielding hybrid that may hang in there a little bit better in a tough drought year. These artesian hybrids are bred to bring excellent top-end yield in a good year where you have enough moisture, and then they can increase yield as much as 15% under water stress, helping growers to level that yield difference over time and also across fields with variable soil types, where even though you might have a decent rain or precipitation, sometimes those soil types might not be able to absorb or hold that moisture, and that creates an uneven yield situation in the field. We've seen artesian hybrids begin to level yield across some of those variable soil types and help that grower grow a more consistent, high-yielding crop. We've got some excellent artesian hybrids for the central and southern corn belt that continue to show their top-end yield ability as well as bringing some real value in those situations where we see a gap in rainfall or an extended drought like we saw in 2012.
Well, those certainly sound like great characteristics and things that would be very beneficial to farmers in our area. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to add?
You know, I'd just like to add that this is a great time for growers to take the time to sit down with their seed dealer, their retailer, and think through some of those production challenges that they saw this year. Find out what type of technology is out there for them to use to address some of these production issues. Make those tough decisions now while you have time to take the time to find out what's available to you as management tools to help your production situation next season. So check with your Golden Harvest Seed dealer or NK Seed retailer for AgriSure traits and genetics. And certainly, let's hope that we have another great season next year in 2016.
Once again, that was Dwayne Martin, the commercial traits lead for AgriSure. The ethanol industry met this week with top White House officials on the Environmental Protection Agency's pending renewable fuel standard, or ethanol mandate, for the nation's fuel supply. Growth Energy CEO Tom Buess and Renewable Fuels Association Chief Bob Dineen met with the White House Office of Management and Budget, the EPA, and other officials to make their final pitch for a statutory 15 billion gallons of ethanol in the fuel supply. The final rule will be announced on or before November 30th, and Buess of Growth Energy says the meeting was the ethanol industry's closing arguments before the announcement.
I feel that we've made as strong an argument as you can on how they got it wrong and why they need to move forward, not backwards.
Buess and Dineen argue there is no reason to drop the 15 billion gallon blending level. They say government projections show gasoline demand growing next year to a 9-year high, allowing the ethanol industry to blow by the so-called blend wall.
I think we demonstrated that they can do that, and the sky won't fall, and we'll move forward with the program and create certainty out there for next generation biofuels.
They also argued the EPA understated expected volumes of E85 and biodiesel by 440 million gallons next year, and USDA's new grants program to install more than 5,000 E85 and E15 blender pumps will expand the market. Buess says administration officials did not indicate what they may decide. This week's meeting was requested by Growth Energy and the Renewable Fuels Association before EPA issues its final rule. Consumers have come to expect transparency in the food industry. The Center for Food Integrity focused research this year on consumer expectation for transparency in the food system and messages that promote trust. Center for Food Integrity CEO Charlie Arnott says their research shows transparency helps consumers build trust.
It really is no longer optional. Consumers basically expect the food system to become transparent. As we've continued to grow in size and scale, consumers have become more skeptical and concerned about who we are and what we do. The key takeaway is that being transparent can overcome that biggest bad bias. So we finally found a tool that can help us overcome the bias. Size and scale are not in society's best interest, and being more transparent can help us make that happen.
The research also shows there is no single source consumers use when seeking information on the food industry.
Consumers tend to crowdsource their knowledge, so there is a great opportunity for us to be more involved in this conversation and to really be more engaged in that discussion. But the only way we're given permission to be in that conversation is if we embrace greater transparency.
Consumers were asked a variety of questions on food production, including food safety, animal care, and business ethics, among other topics.
And what came through the research loud and clear is they want us to be transparent in all of those areas, from impact on diet and health through food safety, animal care, and the environment. And what they really want to know more about is our practices. What are we actually doing on the farm? How does it take place? What does it mean? It's the practices that will ultimately translate to greater transparency and connect with greater consumer trust.
The Center for Food Integrity is currently hosting the Food Integrity Summit in New Orleans. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.